Chapter 1, Tampa Rain. It was time. I figured I'd waited long enough. Darkness had fallen on that winter evening, 2 days after our team's business had concluded for the season. The building was otherwise deserted as I pulled up and parked at the small wooden shack guarding the entrance to One Buccaneer Place. One Buck, as we called it, stood quiet. The one-story stucco and concrete block building was located on the edge of the Tampa International Airport. Oscar, the guard on duty, escorted me through the locked gate on the side of the building. My security code no longer worked. Silently, I gathered 6 years' worth of my professional life from my office. 3-ring binders with notes, play diagrams, and play calling sheets, various books and photographs, my son's video games, and a couple of Buccaneer hats, although I'd never wear them again. I was lost in my memories as I placed these things rather haphazardly in cardboard boxes, thoughtfully left out for me by my administrative assistant. No, I realized Laura is someone else's administrative assistant now. I stopped to contemplate a wood-framed picture in the stack. It had been taken our first year in Tampa, and we were all beaming. My daughter, Tierra, my sons, Jamie and Eric, my wife, Lauren, and me. The stadium grass behind us was a vibrant green, the shade of an Irish meadow, sliced into 5-yard increments by crisp white stripes. A teeming throng of humanity, dressed in orange and red and squinting in the unforgiving Florida sun, filled the stands in the picture's background. The summer of 1996 had been a long time ago. Now, in the winter of 2002, that same Florida sky was dark. Dark, cold, and damp. The mist that had begun in the afternoon had turned to light drops. The weather mirrored my dark inner world on that night of January 14th. I finished packing the last of the items. Not that much, really. A few boxes stood by the door ready to be carried home. Nothing else of note remained. That office of mine had been lived in pretty hard, I had to admit. Most of the homework completed by my sons, Jamie and Eric, over the previous 6 years had been done in there. And the office had seen countless games of catch, video game competitions, and other pursuits geared around young boys. As I wrapped things up, I noticed that the light drops falling outside had turned into a heavy rain. I should have just walked out, since by then it was getting late. Instead, I wandered out of my office and through the building, stopping in the coach's locker room. Standing in the middle of the room, I let my gaze sweep over the cramped, worn 12-by-15 room. I looked from locker to locker, reading some of the names, imagining others. Monty Kiffin, Chris Furster, Clyde Christensen, Rod Marinelli. We had shared this locker room in many memories, these men and I. We had spent hours, weeks, and years together. These men had walked off the frozen, concrete-hard synthetic turf in Philadelphia with me just 2 days earlier, their careers critically stung by the Bucs' 31-9 loss. It was a difficult season, punctuated by a painful ending. And now God had something different in mind for all of us. I tried to take solace in the things that we had accomplished together. 3 straight playoff appearances, more wins than any other staff in team history, but they seemed hollow, even within me. I stared at the lockers, the enormity of the moment suddenly overwhelming as I remembered names of guys long gone from my staff. Lovey Smith, Herm Edwards, Mike Shula. The prognosticators had been circling for weeks, and amid season-long rumors that a new head coach was being courted, their speculations had finally become reality. I had been fired. My family had come to Tampa for a reason. God had led us here, opened doors that we didn't expect would be open, and allowed us to connect deeply with this community. But for what purpose? Not football, apparently. I felt certain that the Buccaneers were my best and possibly last chance to lead an NFL team. For whatever reason, God had closed the door. For what? It wasn't really the firing itself that was a shock, but rather the thought that God was allowing this great experiment to end. Hadn't we tried to do things right? Oscar reappeared. It was late, approaching midnight. I walked out, traversing a path between the squat racks, benches, and other weightlifting machines in the weight area attached to the building. A cool mist blew in under the awning, dampening my 46-year-old face. I looked to my left, past the row of squat racks and away from the building. Through the dark and rain, I could barely make out two shadowy practice fields. The runway lights of the airport were clearly visible just yards beyond. Where was the burning bush? Where was that still small voice? Or even better, the loud booming one? The only voice I could hear clearly was my own, crying out in the wilderness, "When will I hear your voice, Lord?" I returned from my thoughts as Oscar quickly maneuvered between and around the weight machines to beat me to the next door. He pressed the electronic pad, releasing the magnetic lock on the chain link gate that separated the weight area and the practice fields from the waiting parking lot. The Bay News 9 reporter had been waiting all night for this shot. For 2 days, news trucks had been parked along the street, on the front lawn, in the surrounding ditches, wherever they could fit, close to one buck. I thought everyone had abandoned the vigil hours earlier when the Buccaneers had issued a statement there would be a press conference the following morning. But on a hunch, this reporter had doubled back in the dark and rain, and he was about to hit the jackpot. He must have seen my head over the dark green screen of the fence. He began filming just as I carried the boxes through the gate and into the open area. He was across the street, sitting in the back of a news van on airport property, but given the narrow street and the small parking area, he was no more than 50 feet away. The lens on his video camera more than compensated for that short distance as I walked directly toward him. His nighttime footage of me would air repeatedly over the next several days. Everyone in the Tampa viewing area would have multiple opportunities to see Tony Dungy, former head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, placing boxes into his SUV in the pouring rain. "When will I hear your voice, Lord?" "Soon, I hope." I knew everything would ultimately be fine, but at that moment, on that rain-swept night of January 14, 2002, my explorer and my spirits traveled under the same dark clouds.